the best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
On Cork's
Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And what a weekend, lads. So unfortunate to lose yesterday. 11 points we lost by. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of rebel curse anyway. But hopefully now we'll be back next year. I still have hope. And today, just wanted Clare to win, but unfortunately they ended up losing out by just 2 points, with the final score of Clare 1 goal 19 points and Limerick 1 goal 21 points. On to a little bit of a higher note, sort of to do with Ireland. We'll talk a bit about Cape Verde versus Argentina on Friday night. And of course, the Cape Verde side had Pico Lopez, who plays for Shamrock Rovers. And he did give us all a bit of hope in this year's World Cup being for real. And he will be coming up in just a few minutes on the show. But it's just absolutely mental. Their first World Cup, and they got to the round of 32. Undefeated, mind you, in every game in normal time, until an own goal in extra time saw Argentina run on into the round of 16 to play Egypt on Tuesday evening. So unfortunate, but honestly, fair play. They do have a lot to be very proud of. And of course, continuing the World Cup, there is 2 matches today. Brazil versus Norway at 9 p.m. and Mexico versus England at 1 a.m. I say come on Norway anyway, because I have them in the family sweepstake. And of course we want Mexico to win, because you know, it's England. Friendly rivalry, I suppose you could call it. Now, just before we kick off the show in full swing, let me just play the snippet of a song for our Cork hurlers and minor footballers who won the All-Ireland today. So here is a snippet of The Banks of My Own Lovely Lee, sung by Sean O'Shea.
Where we spoke.
That song, lads, very proud, because our minor footballers, they did get crowned All Ireland champions today. And as for the Cork hurlers, we will be back again next year. I have belief. All hope is not lost. Now we're going to hear from Cape Verde defender Pico Lopez speaking to Cathal Durbin about their exit from the World Cup.
Pico, the day after the World Cup adventure comes to an end, how are you feeling this morning?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird feeling. Obviously, we're disappointed to see it come to an end. It's still quite fresh, so we're hurting a little bit. But I think when the dust settles, we'll realise what we achieved here and what we've managed to do. Like, it's been an incredible journey that we've been on together. Like, and as much as we're sad to see it come to an end, we did what we said we wanted to do. We've come here on the biggest stage in world football, and we've competed and we've shown that we belong here.
That was important to you from the outset, wasn't it? Not just to come here to be one of the numbers, but you were coming here to prove to the world that Cape Verde are to be taken seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it wasn't a token gesture for us. Like, we deserved our place here on merit, and we wanted to compete and say, like, the phrase that's gone around, which I love, like, we're a small island with a big heart, like, and I think we've shown that in all of our games. Like, games we went behind and managed to come back in last night was a 5-goal thriller, which could have potentially gone to penalties as well, like, if something had fell for the last few minutes. Like, but it was always important to show our identity and what we're about, both defensively and attackively. And I think over the course of the 4 games, we've done that.
When you see the likes of Thierry Henry and your old friends Latan, your bosom buddies again now at this stage, when you see what they said about Cape Verde and about the fact that, you know, you are the World Cup, that's just incredible.
Yeah, look, the surreal moments. These are legends and icons of football. And, like, the surreal thing to me, I've mentioned it before, like, with teams and analysis, like, well, you have these people talking about Cape Verde players. You know, like, we've grown up talking about Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Thierry Henry, like, and I suppose, like, the story outside of football is nobody has to ask where Cape Verde is. You know what I mean? You have these like big stars, like, you know exactly where we are and what we're about. And this World Cup has given us the opportunity to show who we are as people as well as footballers.
It's given you the opportunity to show who you are, but you are a product of the League of Ireland. You're now a product of Shamrock Rovers, but there was clubs and coaches and underage coaches who looked after you. How proud are you for them of the impact that you've made on this World Cup?
Yeah, look, I'm very proud to represent the League of Ireland. Side. That's where I played my whole career. Like, and I've always been a fan of the league in terms of like believing in the talent that's there, believing in the good coaches. That's where the people who develop all their hours to try and improve the league and really get behind it. Like, and look, I wanted to probably showcase that as best I could. I hope I've done everybody proud at home. As I say, this is a sort of joint of all the hard work that's gone into Irish football over the years. Like, we've had our setbacks and we've had some really highs as well. Like, so in terms of the League of Ireland, if I can get to the World Cup at 34, I'm hoping that future generations will be at many World Cups.
In terms of Rovers, they're off to Malta now to play in a European game, and I'm sure you're going to wish them well. Bon voyage.
Yeah, look, the lads have been brilliant over the last few weeks. I've been keeping an eye on results and got a great result last night in the showgrounds. Like, and I know when this time of year comes around, people really relish it. Like, so it's a great trip over to Malta. I'm sure the lads will be ready and look forward to it. And wish them all the best and hopefully be back soon to help them out.
The support of your own family over here, Leah and Diego in with you last night, your mum and dad, Leah's mum and dad, your close friends from home. I saw a lovely moment when you were cuddling Diego. He wanted to go to sleep, and you were saying like it seems like an eternity since you had that opportunity.
Yeah, look, putting into perspective, I think he was 6 months when I left. He's now 8 months, and I feel like I've only been present for probably a couple of days of that. Like, so it's just little moments like that to sort of just ground you again and say we've been in the bubble for so long, and what's been an incredible sort of tournament, and just a really enjoyable experience. Like, but you need moments like that just to put your feet back on the ground and realise, hang on a second, like I'm not a footballer at the World Cup. I'm not just a footballer at the World Cup, I'm a dad as well, like, and that's what I wanted to be in that moment. You know what I mean?
You need support from your family and friends, obviously, but you also need support from other people. And in this instance, I'm going to bring you back to when Intersport Elbries came on board right before the tournament. You just qualified, the tournament was still in the distance.
Yeah, look, I suppose the kindness and generosity of people on my journey, like, has been absolutely overwhelming. As like you said, in the sport, Elbridge came on to help me with a pair of football boots to wear the World Cup, which has been really useful to me. Like, and then you have Aer Lingus obviously trying to fly my family over, which means so much, and Nyx Newman's coming out and supporting them on their travel fund as well. And even flying to USA, managed to wrap up a private jet for Leah and baby Yay and her family to get to the game in Miami. Like, so people from all over the world have really come out and offered their services and support to me and Cape Verde, and that really means the most.
Well, should we be proud that you've delivered in the tournament, your own performances? How much pride do you take in them?
Yeah, look, I said that this was what's going to let myself enjoy this World Cup. The competitive side of me as well sort of like kind of blocks that. And look, there's probably aspects of the game where I'll pick apart and I know I could have done better as well. Like, but I think when the dust settles, we'll be proud of this group and what we achieved and what we set out to achieve. I think we did that. So yeah, it'll be a proud moment, but I'll be looking forward to the memories that we've created and talking about these for years to come.
I have to ask you, finally, Diego, I'm sure in the years to come we'll look back at the pictures and see that was my dad playing against one of the greatest footballers of all time. But yourself and Messi had a little conversation at halftime, and everybody at home wants to know what it was.
Yeah, like it was nothing really to it. Like, I think he took exception. I think I gave him a little push because he was just in front of me. I just wanted to make sure he stayed there because we got him behind me. We seen what he could do last night. Like, and he was just making it known that, like, look, that's a foul. You're pushing me off the ball. Like, and I was just like, yeah, I know, but I have to keep it there. Like, and to say we spoke about it on the way into halftime, had a handshake, a little laugh, and then we get on with it.
So, but to be on the same stage, I'm not trying to be in any way patronising to you, but you deserve to be on that stage, and you stood up there and you were proud of what you did last night.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as a group as well, like, I suppose you're playing against the reigning world champions. But when you cross a pitch, you have to treat them as equals. It's 11v11. We show great character. We show great courage and bravery to attack them as well when we got our opportunities. And we just fell short by a few minutes, for forcing maybe penalties, which would have been a great way probably to end that game. But look, it wasn't to be, but we'll take huge sort of pride in that.
So Cape Verde first for homecoming, and then an Irish homecoming just for yourself.
Yeah, hopefully that'll be the case. I'm just looking forward to getting home and just thanking everyone who's been supporting me on this journey.
Pico Lopez, he will forever be an absolute legend here in Ireland. Now we're going to move on to a bit of golf, where Rory has been chatting to Fota Island Golf Club's David Howard on his incredible achievement of qualifying for the Open Championship at Royal Birkdale.
All right, delighted now to be joined on the line by the Cork man who will be competing at the Open Championship in just a few short weeks, Mr. David Howard. David, how are you, sir?
Not too bad, I suppose. Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Has that sunk in yet, actually, when I say to you that you're competing in the Open Championship in a couple of weeks?
No, definitely not. I went for a haircut a while ago in Carrigaline, and I said it out loud probably for the first time. And I was like, geez, can't believe that. It just doesn't feel right. So definitely hasn't sunk in yet. Definitely still fresh. Haven't really got much time to think about it, but getting back to everyone and... Yeah, so many messages and kind of a few media things going on as well. So, no, it's great. Can't complain at all. It's really, really exciting.
Talk to me, Ciarán and Donald. You realised you've qualified for the Open. What's that feeling like?
I didn't really know where I stood coming down the last hole. I knew it was going well because I saw a few leaderboards while playing a few holes with like kind of 9 to go. I knew I was up there. Was playing good all day, kind of in control, and then I had a bad tee shot on the 16th, ended up making double bogey, so I was just full of stress and a bit nervy coming in, but thankfully paired the 17th and 18th, and my dad let me know it was enough after that putt went in. Thankfully it was only like 1 foot as well per par, so a bit nervy even over the 1 footer, but yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I can't even put it into words, to be honest.
Now, your heart must have been pounding heading down 18, was it?
Yeah, especially after the tee shot in 16, because 17 and 18 aren't easy tee shots. If you lose it right on both of them, you're in trouble. You're losing a ball, which I couldn't afford after making that double bogey. So, I was under a bit of pressure coming in. But thankfully, made a couple of pairs and got the job done.
What's the reaction been like since? I'd imagine your Insta's kind of been lit up, and imagine everyone's kind of texting you with all the messages and congratulations.
Yeah, it has been mad. Sorry. We back. It's been mad. The amount of people on to me and on Instagram and messaging me and ringing me. Our friends and family have been unbelievable. My home club, Fota Island, have been amazing. They're all after booking tickets and flights are booked and everything. It's been mad. Then we were on the road down and turned into Kirribinny by my house, and there's flags and a big banner up saying welcome home champ, and got up to the house and there's 100 people, friends and family waiting for me, fireworks going off, horns beeping. It was crazy. So I had a few drinks with all them. And it's great to see them. A bit emotional. But yeah, it was class.
Yeah, I can imagine how overwhelming that must be to have that many people there celebrating with you.
I was ready for bed. I'll be up at 6 o'clock to get on the ferry from Scotland to Belfast, and got home at 5:30 after doing a few stops along the way. So I was ready for bed. Opened his kid into bed, and my girlfriend Gabby then set up a bit of a celebration. And yeah, it was mad, but it's great to see everyone. Everyone's been so supportive, and yeah, looking forward to celebrating with them all and seeing them all over there.
Yeah, a bit of work too, I suppose, now over the next couple of weeks to get ready. What's your schedule going to be heading into the Open?
It's very busy at the moment. Supposed to play Interpros for Munster next week, and then we're going to have team stuff with Fota on Saturday, and depending on how we get on into Sunday. But I literally haven't had a chance to properly think it through and kind of to give myself the best opportunity, be rested and keep the energy levels high. So haven't really thought it through yet. I'm gonna have to do a bit of thinking now this evening when I have a bit of time. And just make it a proper plan. Try to do it the best way possible to give myself the best chance and see how we fare out then.
Royal Birkdale is a name like synonymous with so many incredible moments and Open Championships, I suppose. Have you ever played there?
No, we were over for the British Amateur probably a couple of weeks ago now, I suppose. We were in a campsite in the campervan right next door to Birkdale. So we passed it every day and we actually popped into the clubhouse one of the days just for a look. And all the grandstands were up and looked mad, and little did I know I'd be back in a few weeks to to play in it. So it's mad. Yeah.
You've obviously seen the course quite a bit, I suppose, on TV down through the years. What do you make of it? And I suppose, does it suit you as a golfer, do you think?
I have no idea. I would have watched a couple of, I would have watched it on TV years ago, but I can't think of anything now, really. So need to do a bit of research. Few kind of different apps and stuff like that, so I'll be looking into that and throwing a few YouTube videos to watch. So I'll try to do a bit of research that way, chat to a few lads who played it, and I suppose I'll be over Sunday or Monday. So get a couple of practice rounds in, get a feel for it, and hopefully it suits my eye and can give it a run and wave the Cork flag high.
That's what we want to hear. When does the draw, I suppose, take place for the opening rounds, and you learn who you'll be playing with?
I have no idea. I think the practice round sheet came out today. So
yeah.
I see is there a slot with a few of the big names. I might throw myself in with them. I hope to get a practice round with a few of the Irish lads. And that'd be pretty cool. Like, no matter who I play with, they're pretty big name no matter what. So can't wait for that. It's gonna be mad. Looking forward to it.
I'd imagine Rory and Shane are kind of, I suppose, big heroes of yours.
Yeah. Harrington, Lowry, McElroy, all them top lads. Looking forward to teeing it up in the same tournament as them, which is it's mad to even think about now when I say it out loud.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a mad week, and I won't hit now for another couple of days when I actually proper sinks in. But hopefully handle it well and do the proper preparation and see where it ends up in the end.
Send me back to the start, Dave, and then like how you got started in golf.
So I started off with pitch and putt from a very young age. My two brothers, the older brothers Michael and Jack, and my dad John were then in Raffine, our local club here, where it all started. Pfizer pitch and putt it was. So down there from a young age, got very good at that. Played kind of all Irelands and played for Cork and stuff in that up till kind of the age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
Then kind of progressed then into the 9-hole golf course there, Raffine Creek. And it was all kind of casual stuff really until 2019. Kind of got down to like a handicap of 5. And beat my dad then in a huge Junior Scratch Cup, the Ford Musgrave Junior Scratch Cup, which back then was the biggest thing in the kind of the junior kind of level handicap. So that was huge to win that, beat my dad in the final, which was mad. And I suppose from there then kind of pushed on a small bit, kind of got down to a kind of scratch level. Then we had the coronavirus hit, and there's a few kind of couple of rough years through that, and out the back of that then I kind of got down to plus 2 handicap while working full time in Audi Cork as a mechanic. And I said, if I can get down to plus 2, kind of rocking up on the weekend, running to the tee, sometimes hungover, what could I do if I gave it a bit more time? So I kind of made a decision 2 years ago now, I think, to start at 2024, to kind of leave Audi Cork, as much as I actually really enjoyed my time there towards the end, with all the lads in there. They're all great people, great bunch of lads. I said I'd give it a go, and kind of taken it year by year now since then. And we're on a good trajectory at the moment, from knocking into the Munster Show Play 3 years ago, because I wasn't low enough handicap wise to get into the British Open. It's pretty cool.
And would you work with like golf coaches and stuff like that, David, to help your game along?
I didn't really until kind of the last few years and the last couple of years now working with Kevin Morris, who's in my home club there. So I kind of play with him every couple of weeks when I'm at home and just to work on the basics. And he's been super supportive, not just coaching wise, but with everything. Big credit to Kev. He's been great, and his team in the pro shop, all the lads in there, and the whole members and the whole club in general Fota have been amazing the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
probably,
yeah,
because like, 10 years.
Like, yeah, 10 years. Like Fota's such a, I suppose, a prestigious golf club, like, and like, there's been some amazing players. There's some amazing players in that club as well. I was just going to say, they must be like a massive help, and I suppose even inspiration to you.
Yeah, it's huge. So we've John Doyle there now as well, who played the Junior Ryder Cup last year, and unbelievable player. He's going to America now, the end of this year. So, yeah, I've a lot of competition there. It's good to kind of have someone to push you on and drive you on, and we've a lot of good junior players there as well who are hopefully going to follow in our footsteps and who are well able. In fairness, they just need to keep putting in the work, I suppose. But yeah, it's such a good club, and the facilities there are unbelievable. So we have no excuses, really. Just need to put in the work, and yeah, it's good to get a few results out of it and get the blue Fota colours waving as well. It's great.
Yeah, I'd imagine there'll be quite a few of the lads from the club heading over to support in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've heard about a few flights booked and accommodation and tickets sorted already. Yeah, I can't wait to see them all over there. And those who don't get over there, sure, they're going to be following online, or I suppose it's on TV now. I forgot about that. It's normally following live scoring normally, which is a nightmare for them all, uploading their phone. But they'll have it on the TV now, which is pretty cool.
Dave, no secret, I suppose, that you were diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at an early age. Like, how do you manage that? And I suppose, how does it affect your golf game, or does it affect your golf game?
Yeah, diagnosed at 7. I suppose I probably don't make it out as bad as it is. So I tried to take a lot of the positives from it. But I suppose it's just up until 2019, there was no real medication for it. So, since then, the advances of medication and the treatment has been unbelievable, life-changing. So a big credit to all the companies who are behind that, and my personal team in the CUH. All of them are amazing. So a big thank you to them.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I suppose, like, it kind of, I suppose, you qualifying for the Open shows that cystic fibrosis needn't hold you back, I guess.
Exactly. I won the East of Ireland last year, and yeah, I remember chatting to Professor Barry Plant, who's like a top man with cystic fibrosis in Ireland. He'd be down in Cork as well. So I chatted to him, and he said, like, years ago, there'd be no hope that someone with CF could be kind of competing at this level, and let alone win an Irish Championship. So that was a pretty cool thing to hear. And yeah, I suppose it's just, it's mad, and just be very lucky to be able to do what I'm doing while having CF. And it's just a credit to all the health professionals out there and the treatment. It's just unbelievable now, thankfully. But at the same time, there's still loads that we need to do, and have to take loads of medication to keep me going and all that stuff. So it's not just taking a tablet and we're perfect. We still have to do a bit of kind of physio and kind of look after the health that way. So definitely a good bit of work that needs to be done still, but no, we're definitely on the right track, and I feel very lucky, to be honest.
100%. Let's see. Let you go. Like, I suppose the question you'll be asked a lot now is, over the next couple of weeks, is, can you imagine, like, standing on the first team, what that feeling is going to be like on the Thursday morning at Royal Birkdale?
Yeah, it's mental. I thought about it once, right, and just thinking about the grandstand around you and probably thousands of people around you as well. It's going to be mad. So hopefully I make contact with the ball and it gets off the tee. And that'd be a great start to the day, to be honest. I heard that the first tee shot's going to be hard there, so hopefully we keep it in play and go from there.
Yeah, I was going to say that first tee shot and fucking the eyes of the world on you and all that crack. It'll be amazing. Like, just imagine that challenge and the adrenaline that'll be coursing through your body at that point will be just something else.
Mental. I got to my psychologist there and try to chat through that and see how we're going to manage that. But no, I can't wait for it. It's going to be a special week and can't wait to bring everyone along for the journey. And yeah, it's going to be a team effort. It's not just me. It's kind of the club, my physio and my dad, John, on the bag, heading, and Perth and Gabby. Like, endless amount of support from everyone. It's been unbelievable. So looking forward to kind of bringing everyone for the journey, and hopefully we enjoy the week and hopefully can get a silver medal or try to bring home the carrot jug.
I wouldn't say no to that either, Dave, to be honest.
I heard it's pretty easy. The sort of field's not going to be too strong or anything.
It'll be grand. Just on your caddy actually, and your dad being on the bag for you, like, that must be amazing to have your dad, I suppose, with you, and just the calming presence that he'll provide.
I don't know about calming present now at all. I'm the one calming him there when he gets too nervous. No, but it's great to have the experience and the memories we're going to have looking back in this down the line, this class. But yeah, we were over at St. Andrews there, the home of golf, a few weeks ago. And yeah, it's cool having him there and having him on the bag and making a lot of memories. So no, very grateful.
Have you set a target for the week, David, or is it just go out and enjoy it and just love every second of the experience?
I haven't really had much time to think about it properly, but I'm going to try my best to treat it as another tournament and kind of go through my preparations, routines, and try to take it one shot at a time and see where that ends up at the end of Friday first, I suppose, and hopefully the end of the weekend if we can get that far. But yeah, I suppose there's no point kind of, well, it's easy to, easier said than done, but no point making it out to be that much of a big deal. It's still hitting the ball and trying to get into the hole in at least shots as possible. So yeah, it's so much easier said than done, I'd say. Just thinking ahead, it's definitely not going to be that easy, but yeah, I'm going to try my best anyway to just do what I normally do and kind of see where that leaves me.
Yeah, and look, if you were to miss the All-Ireland final on the Sunday because you had made the cut, I don't think you'd be too upset, would you?
No, sure, we can get updates on the course. It'd be grand. I'd rather be over there, I think, but hopefully the lads get it done.
Dave, a pleasure, buddy. Very best of luck. Looking forward to watching your progress over the week and trying to catch a glimpse of you on TV. Very, very best of luck with it, man. Enjoy the experience.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
The Big Red Bench. Cork Red FM.
Hello, and you're very welcome back from the break. You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And now, we have a bit of boxing coming up for you. We have Matchroom promoter Eddie Hearn speaking to Matthew Brennan at the announcement of the undercard for Katie Taylor's fight at Croke Park.
Hearn, we're back here in Dublin. You were here a couple of months ago. The excitement was building. We're here to announce the undercard, and I'm looking out here and there is quite a considerable amount of people here. Yeah. So that just shows the excitement there is around this card.
Absolutely, and obviously the signing as well of Ian Mercado Garry, you know, big UFC star, about to have the fight of his life against Islam as well. So mixture of UFC fans here as well and big boxing fans ahead of what will be an iconic night, September 5th at Croke Park.
Yeah, and we've seen you dip into some other sports. You've got some rugby players in with you. You've got Tom Aspinall as well. But then away at the minute isn't something that is on the best of terms. Is how does that kind of dynamic work with some fighters that he's under your banner?
You know, there was a clear opportunity for us to move in the world of sports management. That rivalry with Dana kind of makes it a little bit more interesting, but also is great for the fighters. Like, you know, Tom's profile since signing with us has gone through the roof, and Ian Garry's a massive star. Like, I looked at him and I approached him and said, I think this is one of the standout guys in the UFC. If he was to beat Islam, which if you listen to him, he's very convinced, then he becomes if not the biggest star in the UFC, and he's Irish,
yeah.
Right? So I know the support that you guys give your own. Now, I know he wants to one day fight at Croke Park himself, so it's a great narrative, great story, and looking forward to the future.
Yeah, and do you have many plans, I suppose, on the Irish front with him to kind of get him more in the face of the Irish people? Because he is a big star for sure, but I'm not sure he's captured the imagination of the Irish
because
people
I
just
think
yet.
The thing is that the UFC, you know, in my opinion, don't really do a big job in promoting their talent. The shows, and that, you know, that is amazing.
Yeah.
But away from that, you've got to really drive the profile of these people. And for me, they don't really do that. And that's our job, to work on the commercial side, the profile of Ian Garry. Like I said, I looked at him, spoke to him, and it's like, this guy's got a massive personality, and he can really fight. If he wins these fights, he's ready-made to be a superstar.
Yeah.
So that's down to him. But like I said, it was something in his eye, similar in the chats, really, that I had with Katie Taylor as well, where it was like, wow, you've got something and you want it bad, and I believe in you.
Yeah, and I suppose I'm sure we're going to see a lot from him over the next little while. I'm excited to see how that journey goes. The other card we've got that's going to be announced here today, people will already have seen who's going to be on it, Paddy Donovan, Tyrone McKenna. That's a big fight, and you did say you wanted a lot of all Irish bouts on the card to kind of feed into the atmosphere. It seems as though you've gone and done that. I imagine you're fairly happy with how the card.
Yeah, I am. I think, you know, we realised that around 95% of the people that have bought tickets have never watched boxing before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, people feel like, do we need that many fights? My answer is yes, because this is an opportunity for boxing.
Yeah.
For those people on the card to really become stars. I mean, Paddy against Tyrone, great. You know, you've got Thomas Carty against Dave Allen's, a great, fun heavyweight fight. Carty lives just down the road. Emmett Brennan, who's a couple of hundred yards from Croke Park, against Taylor Bevan. Molly McCann, the big UFC star. It's actually Katie Taylor's cousin.
Yeah.
And then you've got guys like Bobby Flood and Adam Alanian, you know, young Irish fighters that are on the way through. You don't understand how important it is for these guys to fight this card. Like, everybody was desperate to be a part of it. So the boxing side locked off, really happy. Now we move on to the entertainment side, the music, because like I said, this is not just a boxing event. This is a night of entertainment for the Irish people.
Yeah, and you mentioned there about Bobby Flood and Adam Alanian. I've spoken to them at length in recent times and about the appetite that they did have to fight on this card, and they're fighting fairly close to it themselves, the 1st of August. They're obviously with Frank Warren. How did that all come about?
You know what? Like, obviously, if we hadn't fixed our relationship, there is absolutely no way I would put a Frank Warren fighter on my card. Taylor Bevan, who's fighting Emmett Brennan, just fought on a Frank Warren card down in Southampton. So, you know, I think we're also now, we're with the same platform, we're with the same broadcaster in DAZN. So it's like, I think we're giving them a big leg up, Adam and Bobby, but good luck to them. Like, they're great young Irish fighters, and if this can give them a leg up to go on and create a legacy in this country, then great. And, you know, Adam particularly, a really exciting heavyweight, this is a massive moment for him.
And you spoke there about the importance for these fighters being on this card and be able to grow their own profile, but also just to be able to experience something like this. It's the same for the people who are going, and that the amount of people who are going to be there for Katie, not necessarily for the boxing, but might turn in to boxing fans. You mentioned about yourself and Frank being on the same platform with DAZN. Is there any potential maybe for this card to be broadcast in Ireland on terrestrial TV, perhaps on RT or Virgin Media, to maybe capture some of that audience that weren't able to get tickets?
Sure, those conversations are happening. I mean, you've got to marry that with DAZN are paying a lot of money to make it possible, but also we want to make sure as many people see it as we can, and they're open to that as well. So those conversations are ongoing, and I wouldn't be surprised as well if there was an additional broadcast on September 5th.
Okay, and then as well, just on the last time you were over here, that was before the tickets were on sale.
Yeah.
Did you anticipate them going so quickly? Was there any hesitation at all within you that maybe we wouldn't get that majority of tickets?
The hesitation came over the last couple of years because I wasn't completely convinced we'd do that number.
Yeah.
And the problem is, when you've got an 80,000 arena stadium, if you do 40,000, it ain't good. And that's a huge volume and huge amount of tickets.
If you did that anywhere else, it would be exceptional.
So it's like, are we sure about this? And it's one thing, like, the people saying to you, come on, Eddie, we'll fill it. It's like, will you? Like, do you guarantee me you'll do that?
Yeah.
And obviously, I couldn't have been happy. I mean, Katie was so happy and so humbled by the whole experience and support. And this is going to be an iconic moment. Even Croke Park now. I mean, they were completely shocked.
Yeah.
and you know they backed us, but they never thought this was possible. Yeah. And now you're sitting on the biggest event ever at Croke Park. That's what we're about to see.
Absolutely. And just on the entertainment thing you touched on a couple of minutes ago, what exactly can we expect from that? How many acts are we going to see? What type of acts are we going to see?
Multiple Irish bands. Yeah, there will be. I mean, we're working on some of that. Ed Sheeran's not performing. I keep getting asked that question. He's got a gig. I saw him in Phoenix, and he said he would have loved to be in part, but he has a show the same night. You will have at least two household Irish names as well. I don't want to put too much pressure on myself but it's very important to us as well, and we've had a lot of support from those people saying want to come. Obviously logistically you still have to fly people in and it's a big setup, but it's very important that, you know, like I said, at least two major music acts as well on the night.
How influential has someone like Peter Aiken been in that side of
very us? Very, and you know, but probably not as influential as Katie Taylor.
Absolutely.
So like these people, I mean, you know, the people that we're talking to, they wouldn't come and perform at my birthday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're coming for Katie Taylor. Well, they would, but for a few quid. You know what I mean? So this is different. We know we can't, you know, pay all these acts like what they're used to making a night, but this is like, look, come and be part of something that will be in Irish folklore forever. Yeah. And that's the attraction for them as well, and everybody wants to support Katie.
I'm sure Katie's got the head down right now. She's going to have the head down for the next little while.
Yeah.
She's done all her promo. Excellent work there, I suppose, going around to all the little villages, and that's how you're going to sell tickets, getting involved with the people. I suppose, what do you anticipate being ahead for her over the next couple of months? How do you imagine she's
but when she goes into camp, the last thing she really wants to do is talk to me. So I'll be a few texts for her out, you know, how's it going, all good. The focus now is on just that, winning, because, like, you know, really she'd be devastated if she went into this fight and lost. I mean, the occasion's going to be so incredible. It's not going to be an easy fight either, so, you know, for her now it'll just be about focused on the performance and winning, of course, and, you know, us gearing up to creating an iconic moment for sports fans all across the country.
One more, just actually outside of boxing altogether, I'm a big darts fan myself. I see you guys were doing a lot of good stuff over there in America the last little while. I know we only really get the Premier League over here in Ireland once a year. Have you any plans or any potential to get some other events over here in Ireland?
Potentially. I mean, we've got so many countries around the world that want to stage more and more events now, and you know, in America it was a huge success. We just did a deal with ESPN and we sold out Madison Square Garden, and listen, when we come here for the Premier League, it's one of our best nights. I mean, it's absolutely wild. So yeah, don't rule out another darts event in Ireland, but the calendar is getting increasingly busy.
Absolutely. And then one final message for anyone who has secured their tickets for
congratulations don't resell them. Do you know what I mean? I think just thank you, you know, and by the way, thank you to people who didn't get this, and it's quite heartbreaking when I get messages from people saying, please, like, our family's desperate to come. I think we could have sold 150,000 tickets for this event, you know, and just thank you to the great people of Ireland for supporting. It's nothing to do with us, nothing to do with Matchroom. It's Katie Taylor. You made this possible, so thank you.
Eddie Hearn, thanks, Billy.
Thanks.
We are going to continue on that note here on the Big Red Bench. We now have Limerick welterweight Paddy Donovan speaking to once again Matthew Brennan at the announcement of the undercard for Katie Taylor's fight at Croke Park.
Hi, Paddy Donovan, big news. You're going to be fighting in Croke Park on the Katie Taylor event. Indeed. You must be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, brilliant. Great event, biggest event in Irish history. What else can I say? It's a privilege to be on the show. And I've got a good dancing partner, Tyrone McKenna, so I think we're in for a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. An all-Irish bout. That must be something a bit different, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a bit different. I don't know how I'm going to come about this. I don't know what way Tyrone's going to act, but we'll see. If he has a go at me, I'm going to have a go at him. But if he plays it cool, I play cool. It's two Irish fighters. Tyrone's an Irish legend. He's been in some classics, and it's a privilege to share the ring. But it's my time right now, and I just got to perform.
Absolutely.
To win.
And you're a Limerick man.
Limerick.
Yeah, Limerick have plenty of experience at Croke Park over the last little while. I'm sure it'll be nice for you to join some of the hurlers that have done that stage.
I've seen them play many of times at Croke Park, and been in attendance in the crowd many of times. So to be, I didn't see myself playing on the grass, but this time around it's me on the field, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're one of the big names, I suppose, that would have been touted to be on this card from the beginning, given your kind of how well you've been doing over the last little while. But when did you find out that this was actually going to be happening?
If there was a show going to be held in Croke Park, I think it would only be fair I get my the crack of the whip, to be honest. So Andy put it towards me after the fight in Germany. He offered the fight. He said, Paddy, would you like to take the fight in Croke Park, maybe against Tyrone Tyrone McKenna. I said, Andy, let's do it. I said, put that name forward and let's make that fight happen. And so when Andy offered the fight, we were down for it straight away.
And you mentioned there, obviously, that fight in Germany. You're back to winning ways. Yeah. Obviously, the last couple of fights hadn't gone your way for one reason or another. You must be happy to get back in the win column.
Yeah, there was a lot of pressure. It was a must-win fight, really, when you look into things, especially the way the year ended last year.
Absolutely.
It would have been one of the saddest boxing careers ever if I was to lose that fight, really, you know. But the main thing is I won. And performance was brilliant against a world-class fighter, one of the best fighters in the division, to go to Germany and get the win in good fashion and score two knockdowns was fantastic. How good it is to have me in Croke Park and has me fighting for a world title again. So quite thankful for everybody that's helped me and God above.
Yeah, and you've been with Andy for quite some time now. You're probably the first fighter that was in that stable with him. He's added some very high calibre fighters in recent times. It must be great to be working with those guys day in, day out.
Yeah. Brilliant. Listen, Andy is nothing less than a genius in boxing, and his resume and his what he's doing over the last couple of years is proving it, what he's doing with fighters. So we're still here, we're still knocking on the door together, we're still in camp together, we're still enjoying all these moments, and we're just trying to put the finishing touches, putting that icing on the cake by winning that world title this season.
Absolutely, and the very best of luck with your prep over the next little while, and we'll be chatting to you again before
I'm
sure.
Thank you so much.
So you're listening to the Big Red Bench, and now we're going to move on to Camogie, where Tipperary were facing Clare in today's All-Ireland quarter-final. So we'll now hear from Tipperary manager James Heffernan following his team's victory over Clare in this afternoon's All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship quarter-final in Croke Park.
James, you must be fairly happy after that result, getting a little bit close there at the end, but overall, really strong performance.
Yeah, look, we felt we probably had enough done after 15 minutes to go. Disappointing, all right, to concede a couple of goals towards the end. Clare probably got three goals in the last, 15, 20 minutes. But overall, look, it was a good performance. I think we scored 3-15 from play, which is important, because we probably hadn't been doing that the last couple of weeks. Really happy to be. I suppose the goal was to get into a semi-final. We're at home now in Semple Stadium for the semi-final, so look, very positive.
All six forwards and both your midfielders scoring, maybe a little bit of a reliance on Emer McGrath earlier on in the year, but Quivilla's taken and Heffernan really standing up today.
Yeah, like, look, there's loads of talent there, and it's probably getting that message across that, look, like, we need everyone to contribute. Again, like, Emer contributed well there today, but like, it is important to get to that, you have scores coming from deep, especially midfield, half back line, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I thought we did that well today, that we got our midfielders forward, which is important. So we can't be over reliant on one or two players, because that won't wash against the big teams, you know. So yeah,
you must be very happy. Stoppage on 13 minutes, the injury to Caoimhe Maher would have given Clare a big chance to regroup, but you got the first score after that stoppage.
Yeah, that was important, and we had started really well. Look, just overall, just very disappointed for Caoimhe. It looks like a serious knee injury that we don't know yet what it is. Caoimhe had been going really well. She's been a stalwart for Tip for years, but she's back to her best form, I thought, this year. So look, that's a big worry for us, and it looks quite serious. So just very disappointed for Caoimhe, you know.
Cheers, lads.
And that's look bad, but the other side we've seen Clodagh coming on, who's from three cruciates, like former captain, like, to be able to call on that sort of experience and ability is pretty unbelievable. You have to see that depth in the pattern.
Yeah, like it is a big luxury to be able to be on someone like Clodagh, and to be fair, like someone's come back from three cruciates. I don't think many players would do it. But like, as soon as Clodagh got injured, was it last year? Was the last one? Like, everyone knew she would be back, and she's probably back fit now, probably 2 months, 3 months, and she's probably unlucky not to be trusted in sooner. But she took her chance today, and she was excellent.
And we've taken, like, obviously, first appearance with Croke Park, racked with nerves, not a bit of it, like, she was just so natural out there.
Yeah, and she was bound to be nervous, and I say a lot of the younger players well, and even experienced players, like you're always going to be nervous, like, on a big occasion like this. But yeah, like, she took it in her stride, like she always does. So I'm delighted for her as well.
And just in terms of, obviously, I think we'll have a draw soon or later. You probably, 3 weeks, doesn't matter to you who you get.
Not really. Look, we're at home. We're delighted to be in Semple Stadium. To be fair, look, Cork and Galway, whoever, I presume they're separated in the draw. They'll go in as massive favourites, like we know that. And you know, on the form line, you know, that's deserved. Cork and Galway have been way out in front for the last couple of years, and the form line is showing this year that is the same. So, like, look, we're glad we have the 3 weeks because we need it to go up against either of those two teams, you know. But look, the fact that we'll be at home, it's a big bonus for us. We should have a massive tip crowd there, hopefully. So, like, can't wait for that. Yeah, like, look, it's my first year in the job, but to me, the structure, it probably suited us. It probably maybe favours the so-called stronger teams. But like, my understanding is that the teams in Group 2 got huge benefit out of it as well. Like, to be fair, there was a lot of kind of one-sided games last year. So, like, I have to give credit to the Camogie Association to try to balance that. But, like, the fact that we lost our 3 games probably meant that the system didn't work because we ended up in the quarterfinal. But if we got a win, you could argue that it was a good system, you know what I mean? So it maybe is there for tweak, and I know probably Kilkenny would have been disappointed not to be in that top four as well. So from our point of view, we were happy with the strong games, but I can see why other teams wouldn't be overly happy with the system. So there does seem to be a bit of disappointment over the setup. Probably when I started the job, the first news I got was that we're in a group with Cork, Galway and Waterford, and I was saying, Jesus, it's going to be a tough year. But yeah, look, the 3 games definitely suit us anyway, from my point of view.
The company needs to take another step now this year. You know, they've been really pushing, given the way your foot forward line, especially Pays, take 1 point off your foot forward line, something like that. So, you must be feeling positive now that they can take that next step.
Yeah, like, and that's what the players are here for, you know what I mean? Like, they're not here to get to semi-finals and kind of go only that far, you know what I mean? It's like, the talent is there. Like, we believe the talent is there. There's loads of good young players on the squad as well. They've brought a lot of kind of energy and freshness to the setup this year. But yeah, like, we definitely feel like we have the scoring power up front. But, you know, it's not enough to kind of just have those players on the pitch. You have to probably get good ball into them, and you know, like, your forwards need to work really hard as well to stop the opposition kind of getting a run on us as well. So it's just to put that together, I suppose, in a big game, and I know better time than that, hopefully in 3 weeks' time. But yeah, like, definitely looking forward to that challenge. And like, you know, the girls aren't training since probably November to only go that far, you know. So
we will now hear from Clare manager Eugene Foody after his side were defeated by Tipperary in today's All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship quarter-final at Croke Park.
Yeah, definitely the first half was definitely, you know, if it could have been that couple of points, you know, there's some serious missed chances there in the first half. You know, three wides and frees, two balls going to goalie's hand, a great goal opportunity slipped. You know, that's what, 8 points, it was only 6 in at half time. You know, if we had even scored half of those, and then the killer the goal straight after half time didn't help us. But I think the girls showed great character to stay fighting on, and you know, the introduction of Anya Lachlan and Maeve Millay added emphasis to the forwards, and you know, we took a few chances in the finish in a high.
Yeah, and it's kind of the opposite to last year. You know, you probably hanging in for 40 minutes and kind of fell away in the last 20 minutes last year, whereas this year was I think 3, 4 to 5 points in the last 10 or 15 minutes. So, you know, it was completely the opposite. Yeah. Because that shows the condition that they're in.
Yeah, look at it, and as I said to one or two there already, you have to be really tuned in when you're up here on the big stage. You can't afford any lack of concentration, and you know, on a couple of occasions we showed just a little bit of lack of concentration, and I suppose the goal for Tipperary, the quick free, and you know, we'd seen that already in the championship, we spoke about it, and you know what you can prepare all you like and do all you like, but you know, the girls did try their best, you know, no man doubt to play a bad game, and at least they finished on a high.
Yeah. Like, I think Tipperary got the first 7 points, but you must have had seven wides at the same time, you know, at the other end.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a killer, really, that everything you were hitting was going wide and everything they were hitting was going over the bar.
Yeah, and we hit two into, as I said to you earlier, we hit two into the goalkeeper's hand and we put a, you know, great goal chance away. We didn't put it away. And, you know, and any chance the Tip got, they punished us, and that's what good teams will do to you. And that's, you know, we have to learn that, and we have to be, you know, but hopefully playing 1A next year, and we're playing the Cox and Kilkenny's, or the Cox and Galway's and Kilkenny's, all that, and every day, that we'll pick up a few tricks and apply ourselves and, you know, dust ourselves down and refocus again.
And you can see the standard, if you know what I mean. You know, the 1B was great and it was a great stepping stone, but you can see now the standard from that. Like, I mean, Tipperary were extremely sharp from the outset.
Yeah, and so hopefully we can, you know, playing in the 1A next year in the league will sharpen us, and we'll pair us then, that we can be, you know, get back here and progress further. I mean, we need to, you know, we need to get one big win in our championship. We need to take a scalp of someone, and, you know, until we do that, that has to be our goal, right? And until we do that, it's we're going to struggle in the championship. I can't. I was asked already there, you know, we came up last night, they were in really good form, we spoke about all week, you know what I mean. This is our third week on the trot, on matches, so I think we create the chances. I just think, you know, on a big stage and a big day, if we don't take those chances and a ball goes wide and next thing it's multiplies in your head, and, you know, then a free doesn't go over and next thing, you know what I mean, all these little things, and, you know, if we miss a ball picking it, and, you know, it's amplified in a stage like this. And but look, that's sport, and we'll just dust ourselves down and go at it all over again, and see, hopefully we can pick up a couple more in the pen and strengthen the pen. And like I said to Owen there, you know, playing 1A in the league, hopefully that'll sharpen us, and we just work on that. I don't think we're that far away. Do you mean a bit of luck there in the first half today? And, you know, if we had got a couple of those points, if we'd scored half of those, right, we'd probably be 2 points going at half time. It'd be a lot different conversation at half time. And when we went down six, and next thing there's a goal, that's nine. You know, if there's only two in there, you know, that's it. And we know we have the condition worked on, we know we have the fitness done. So we knew we were going to finish strong. We knew we had subs to bring on, right, to finish the game. And that proved the point. We just needed to be in that game at half time, and, you know, it's a couple points closer, or even ahead, or level, whatever it was. But it was just that 6 point, and then the goal after half time really killed it. But I think on the positive side, the girls showed a huge character, a huge belief, and what we've worked on in since last November. And I'm really proud of how they finished. They just didn't throw in the towel and say, let's get on the bus, get out of here. They kept knocking away, kept down, and, you know, the clear crowd coming in, give them support as well. And, you know, to be playing Camogie in this atmosphere is ideal, and, you know, the girls should be proud of what they did. Maybe Nicholas, I don't know, but, you know, the most of them were here last year. Do you know what I mean? You can't counter for everything. We spoke about it, we had gone through it, we'd looked at videos. So it's just the rub of the green, and we just didn't have it in the first 20 minutes, right? Whereas everything Tipperary touched, you know, went over there, and everything we did, either top shot or went wide, and, you know, each one of those in is like a hammer blow, and you're trying harder the next time, and, you know, it doesn't happen, and, you know, you're trying, and next thing, you know, a hill becomes a mountain, and, you know, but I mean, we finished the half really well, got a couple of scores, and we were positive at half time, and, you know, and you just showed that in how we finished the game. You know, I mean, I know the three goals may be a penalty, but we still got the ball into positions and still made a battle of it, and, you know, that's sport.
Thing is that they got better when the crowd got bigger, so that's a good positive for going forward.
Yeah, it was it was probably disheartening for some of the Clare supporters coming in. They came in late and saw the score, but at least, John, the last 15 minutes there, we show what we're about, and we're sure that we can play Camogie. If we can play that for 60 minutes, then that's the end.
But overall, the year, you know, well, obviously today was a bit, sobering result. You know, overall, there's huge steps made this year, wasn't there?
Which yeah.
League success and the four wins in the group stage, we've never done before.
Yeah, look, last year we got to this stage with one win. You know, we had to, you know, we went out awfully in the last game 2 weeks ago, not knowing, although it was in our own hands, we didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah, and those competitive games and going down to Wexford and things like that. And, you know, playing competitive games, that's what we all want to be doing. You know, we don't want to be training, we want to be playing games, and it was a positive from that point of view. Our centre condition has been immense this year, it's sure. Then the end, we were able to finish good and strong, and our hurling, you know, our tactical, you know, just need to improve on a couple of things, but you know, we are making strides, and as I said to the boys when we go over the job in November, we're going to get so far on the ladder this year, right? It's we're going to kick.
So that's all we have time for today on the Big Red Bench. A very sad weekend, you could call it. But your luck, we will be back again. And it was a good weekend because our minor footballers, they did win the All-Ireland final today. So at least there's something to take away from the weekend. So that's it from the Big Red Bench. I've been Orla O'Leary. I will catch you again next week. Up next, we have Mags Blackburn with Green on Red.
The Big Red Bench.
Big Red Bench.
On Cork's
Red FM.
Red FM. We'll be right back.